This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Ready to throw it down, Ben?
Let's go, big guy.
Today we're talking about your article titled Me and My Mayor. This article appears in the Reader on September 16th, 2010, and in it you talk about your first ever attempt, unsuccessful attempt, to interview Richard M. Daley when he was first running for mayor, and then your eventual opportunity to speak with him just this past week at a budget hearing. You wrote that you didn't want Mayor Daley to resign, that you wanted to see him lose the February mayoral election. How likely do you think that would have been?
Not very likely. I presume he would have won. Yeah, I think that the mental block voters have in regards to Mayor Daley, their fear at voting against him, I call it that. It's almost like a subconscious fear, like he can see what they're doing, is so strong.
Well, you were afraid of him knowing where you live, as if he couldn't find that out.
It was just a momentary thing, though. You know, when I came home and I told this story, you know, people said to me, "Oh, well, you know, he probably knows where you live already." I mean, at the moment, standing there face to face with him, I'm like, "What the hell? You want to know where I live for?" So, I think it was just a subtle form of intimidation. But going back to voters in the voting booth, I've had so many people over the years tell me, sometimes joking, but sometimes they're serious, you know, wondering, am I not afraid that I'll be physically punished, thrown in the Chicago River, that kind of thing. I've had, it just qualifies as a joke. And I usually say something along the lines of, well, if you're serious, why would you elect a government that would be capable of such things? So I don't think this mayor is like that. I think that, by and large, he believes in a First Amendment and a free press. But I think what the greater point is that the public has a reluctance, and I would call it a fear, of replacing the mayor. The uncertainty, the unknown. So I think that would have been too deep, too pervasive to overcome, and I believe he would have won re-election.
I have to echo that because people ask me, because I report on Chicago government, they've been approaching me since the announcement with this sort of lost look in their eyes, like, what do you think's going to happen next? Like, I look in my crystal ball, and they'll feel better. I can sleep at night, you know?
I've gotten similar questions, and at this moment, a lot can change before the February election, but my sense is the leading candidate would be Rahm Emanuel, mainly because in so many ways he's the most similar to Mayor Daley. He's very assertive, he's strong-willed, he's used to getting his way, he's a great fundraiser, so he'll probably have as much, if not more, money than anybody else, which means he can blanket the airwaves with commercials. And I think the powers that be will come around, rally around him. Barack Obama has already sent a signal that he, Barack Obama, would think Rahm Emanuel would be an outstanding mayor. And I think that the downtown real estate community and the larger business community would be comfortable with a Rahm Emanuel and think of him as a substitute for Mayor Daley in so many ways.
I agree. If he runs, he's the one to beat. Going to the episode that you describe in the article in the South Shore Cultural Center, running into the mayor, when Mayor Daley was introduced to you, do you think that he knew of your reporting? I mean, what do you think was going on in his mind?
Well, as I've said to you many times, I cannot read the mayor's mind, and he doesn't talk to me on a regular basis. But my reading of the situation was that initially, at that first moment when he heard my name, it didn't click. It took about a few seconds, and then I'm sure he had a flash to all those TIFF articles, and probably Olympic articles probably irritated more than the TIFF articles, because, you know, it's like a different universe. But we talked so much in 2009, Dave, about the Olympics. You know, I wrote a lot of articles very critical of the Olympics, and I openly did not want the Olympics to come to Chicago, and that, of course, was the mayor's pet project. So he may have remembered those Olympics, you know, or the TIFFs. But I think the link was made. It took a second or two, and then he started messing with me.
Where do you live?
Where do I live? Yeah, that kind of thing. You've never been here before. You never come to one of these budget hearings. He was just messing with me.
Obviously, right after the mayor's announcement that he was not going to run for re-election, Chicago news outlets produced a plethora of daily retrospectives. So we can look at your article as the Reader's contribution to this spread of reporting and op-eds. What else did the Reader consider doing besides your column?
Well, in terms of me, the Reader folks said, they said, you have to write something. And I really didn't know what to write. I didn't want to write another Ben story at that moment, going in great detail about the fiscal legacy of Mayor Day, or the financial legacy, this horrible debt he's left us with. I definitely will write about that in the future, but at that very moment, I just kind of wanted to reflect a little bit, and I wanted to figure out what it meant, not just for the city, but for me, you know, because I have been writing so critically of his regime for so long, and now he was leaving, so kind of had to sum it up some way. And when I showed up at the South Shore Cultural Center, I had a vague notion of what I was going to write. I'd actually outlined something, which would have been fine, but then this fortuitous meeting occurred, and I totally restructured what I had already written. In fact, I did that sitting in my car after the meeting. So I thought it was a good way for me to come to terms with my general attitude at Mayor Daley's administration and why I was so critical of him, which I think I did in the story, and then to have a little fun with sort of our personal relationship, of which there is none. But I think the way he has treated me and other reader writers, but mainly me in this indication, is sort of indicative of, you know, his style. I know that I come from a certain segment of the city that would not be popular with Mayor Daley and his crowd. They would be distrustful of me.
What do you mean, certain segment?
Well, I started off, I'm not from Chicago, but when I got my first job, and this may be hard for people today to realize, but I was working for a publication called The Chicago Reporter, which was run by a great man who gave me a big break. His name is John McDermott. John was a civil rights activist, and he felt that journalism could be used to sort of document the disparities in Chicago between blacks and whites, to point out how where Chicago needs to correct itself on issues of race. So among Daley's crowd, you got to go back in time, Dave. So, you know, we're talking about late 70s, early 80s. Among Daley's crowd, the Reporter were like the remnants of the do-gooders who marched for open housing in all white neighborhoods and just caused trouble for old man Daley. So they were very distrustful of me and suspicious of me. In the 82, 83 campaign, they sheltered Mayor Daley, or he wasn't Mayor Daley then, he was Candidate Daley, trying to keep him on message and not having him, you know, be questioned by people like me. Kind of similar to the way Republicans tried to protect Sarah Palin in this last presidential campaign after that disastrous Katie Couric interview. Now, in recent years, Mayor Daley has been much more open. You know, he meets with the press all the time and those contentious give and takes at City Hall, but I don't hang at City Hall, never have, never will, don't even have a press pass. I've never been part of that crowd where you have those back and forths where, you know, he teases reporters in much the same way he was teasing me. So that was my opportunity to share in that.
Something you can cherish.
I will cherish it. And the photo, accompanying photo, which is a priceless memento.
That's a great photo, by the way.
Yeah, and it was taken by Hunter. Thank you, Hunter, on a cell phone.
Did I ever show you my photo with the mayor?
Mayor Daley?
Yeah.
No, I've not seen it.
All right, we'll have to compare someday.
Yeah. Well, how many years ago was it taken?
It was taken in 2001.
Oh, okay. A space odyssey.
Well, it wasn't a big space, Daley Plaza.
Okay. So, yeah, it's it was one of those bike to work days?
It was, yeah.
My God, I wrote about that. I may have written about the one that where you got your picture with Daley. That was, oh my God, going down memory lane. Daley built an alliance, this is one of my favorite themes, Dave, with the bike community who worshipped the ground he pedaled on, except for a handful of cycling activists who were treated the same way I've been treated. They were not invited to bike to work day. Remember that one?
Uh-huh.
So I wrote about how there are the good bicyclists and the bad bicyclists.
And I've walked both sides of that line.
Or rode on both sides.
Oh, got me.
You've managed to have a wheel in each camp.
All right, these metaphors are getting more tortured, so we'll have to leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of the story with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org and a soon-to-be-named new website for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.